Hello, and welcome to The Conversational Interface, a monthly podcast where we talk to AI experts and industry insiders about the artificial intelligence technologies, the challenges, and the trends that are shaping this emerging market. I'm your co-host, Bridget Botello. I'm the editorial director of TechTarget's AI news and information site, searchenterpriseai.com.
And I'm the other co-host, Ed Burns. I will be the site editor for searchenterpriseai.com.
Ed has worked as a reporter in this market for years, covering AI, machine learnings, and all the other technologies that fall under the AI umbrella. So every month we're going to be talking about what's going on and what you need to keep track of. We'll be interviewing guests and keeping you all informed. This month's guest is Simon Crosby. He's the CTO of a new edge intelligence software company called Swim.ai. I know Simon from his days as the co-founder of ZenSource, the Zen hypervisor that was acquired by Citrix back in 2007, and then he became the CTO of the data center and cloud division at Citrix. Later on, he left and co-founded another company called Bromium, which developed a micro-virtualization software for endpoint security. Welcome to the podcast, Simon. So, Simon, I mean, we've spoken a handful of times over the past decade at different points in your career. It seems like you're always gravitating toward the edge of the computing industry with the open source Zen hypervisor, and then with Bromium, the micro virtualization, and now you're with an edge analytics company. Tell me how you ended up. How did you find Swim AI? How did you land with this startup?
So first of all, the folks I'm working with have been colleagues friends and colleagues for 20 years, which is awesome. Second, it's almost as though I'm going around a circle. This takes me back to my roots. I used to be an academic at Cambridge in applied probability and computer science. And so here I am doing machine learning and a distributed edge actor framework. And both of those are totally awesome. So for me, this is fun.
So tell me what you're hoping to accomplish. Like what organizations are you looking to work with edge analytics?
So at the moment, we have about 5 customers. We'll be announcing tomorrow a service with our partner Trafficware, which is going nationally to offer this ability to predict the future of any intersection in a major city, which will really open up the opportunity for folks from UPS through Uber and Waymo and so on, as well as insurance companies, to go and get live data out of these cities affordably to make their predictions and do the right thing. But the problem in general with the edge is massive diversity. Every single cookie factory looks different. Every single plant is operated slightly differently. And so the challenge is that at the edge, there aren't enough people to write all the applications to do the optimizations. And so you have to learn and write the application from the data. And so another way to look at Swim is, once we're done self-training a machine learning model for, say, an intersection, we've written a program. Actually, it's written it itself. And the program happens to be the weights of the DNN, which describes how that intersection will behave. So we built a digital thing for the real world from the data, saving somebody the job of having to go off and write a program for it, if they could. And so it's a fabulous way of dealing with the diversity of the edge world to learn the program, or essentially how it will behave, from the data itself, and to make that available affordably for anybody to go off and achieve their own optimal use of the real world. So the opportunity is huge. The challenge is diversity. We focused massively on dealing with horrible gray data because we can't assume that everything is nice and clean and new and IoT-ish. And then, you know, then we'll see what happens. And so the challenge is really just to get this into more and more opportunities to see what we can make out of it.
So moving on from the edge analytics component that you're working on, I'm sure that you've been watching the AI market overall and all the hype that surrounds it. I'm curious what you think the most promising applications of AI will be in businesses, the big impact that machine learning and deep learning can have in big enterprises today?
Yeah, so I think they can be profound. And I want to be clear that there are, you know, what the kind of learning that we're focused on is different than many of the business intelligence and business optimization use cases of AI. You know, we're very much focused on stream learning, where every single data sample helps us refine and continually train the models, and that's really helpful. So we can, you know, bypass the complexity of actually building the models. The AI market, everybody and their dog is building some AI into their product, and that's good. Products are getting better. Automation will get better. The biggest problem really is humans and their ability to do this. That is, unless we make it an automatic function of every widget, as it were, every intersection just needs to learn from itself and predict its own future. Unless every one of these widgets does that, there aren't enough humans in the world to go off and create AI models of all the things. So the task here, the hard challenge, is to build these AI models automatically.
Man, that's so meta. You're
like it is.
Building AI models using AI.
Yeah, I have a slide somewhere which is about AI teaching itself. But that's kind of where we need to get to.
So I think that's probably scary for some people too. It's like you're letting the AI control everything in that scenario. You know, I don't know how many articles I've read about AI is taking your job, blah blah blah.
Yeah. So I think first steps. By the way, nobody's going to let a startup like us into the control loop of mission critical stuff. Hmm. The job is to advise humans, to make humans more powerful, and to make the insights useful to them, empower folks, right? Because nobody's going to let us control anything. Over time, I think, you know, automation makes its way and things will get smarter. And yes, you're right. I don't know anybody who isn't worried about being done away with by a robot.
And so, I mean, beyond that, like from reading your op-eds in various publications, I know you are concerned about data security and the potential downfalls of collecting all this data to feed the algorithms, the machine learning systems. So what's your take on the ethical challenge of AI and using data mining? I mean, we just saw the Cambridge Analytica Facebook situation, and the U.S. just doesn't have the type of regulations that are being put to place in Europe with the GDPR. We don't have that focus on personal data privacy over the interest of big business.
Yeah.
So what's your take on that?
You know, I'm somewhat hopeful that the Europeans drag us all into the real world. Because, hey, I'm a European citizen, and so when I talk to my U.S. bank, they have to do GDPR for me, right? Mm-hmm. I have to. Because I'm a European subject. So there is some hope that, you know, there'll be this drag-along effect, and that's all good. In general, the your worries about bias in AI are very well-founded, and we need proper high-tech, high-skill review forums for AI of anything. And just as we've had ethical groups, you know, cover various forms of medical science and so on, we need exactly the same for AI. And we have to mandate that what we do is useful for humans, not just purely economically useful, right, that you can just sell the thing. Because we're getting to a point where I think pretty readily we can do away with a large amount of skilled labor, or what you would think of as skilled labor. And so we have to mandate that these systems deliver more than just economic value to the provider. In our specific case, the learning is lossy. And so it's equivalent to me putting you at the intersection of University and Hamilton in Palo Alto and saying, learn what happens. You know, there's no way of going back and saying, what happened at 3:05 last Tuesday? It's very similar to, you know what you like for breakfast, but you probably can't remember what you had for breakfast last Sunday, right? So the job of learning has got the opportunity for learning at the edge is that you can forget sooner. You can throw away the data. You don't have this problem of data security around the enormous data stores that can be plundered, and you can get to the intelligence, the kernels, the decision-making capacity, and not have large blobs of data lying around for somebody to steal.
I think that it's going to take a massive data breach for any legislative changes to come down.
Actually, I don't think that'll help. We've had lots of massive data breaches. If the one at Equifax didn't scare the daylights out of everybody, then it should have. So what you know is that all of your data is somewhere, and at least as an American, there's a very high probability that your data is out there somewhere. Nobody's used it against you yet, but you can bet that somewhere there is a better version of LinkedIn which knows all this stuff. And it's really a matter of time until it gets used against you or against us collectively. That's rather scary.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like the pay-to-play price, though. You know, if you're going to be on the internet, I think we all have just resolve to the fact that somebody could steal our data, but it's either that or you just hole up and don't go on the internet and don't do anything. Everything, every app you use is taking your data and doing whatever they're doing with it.
I think that there's a problem with personal empowerment, and then there's the societal consequence. The societal consequence potentially is the Donald Trumpization of the world. And the individual consequence, you can easily shrug your shoulders and say, okay, so I see different ads when I'm on Facebook or Google or whatever, right? And so the personal cost might be quite low. But I think you can easily flip a society on the basis of 300 million relatively low personal costs. And that's what we're seeing. So you can take a functioning capitalist society such as the U.S. one and flip it over quite easily if everybody doesn't care a bit.
And so you, I mean, with Swim AI, you guys are collecting lots of data from sensors or various devices. How do you reconcile your concerns about data, data security and the value of personal data collection? How do you ensure that the company keeps that all safe and secure?
Sure. So we're actually not collecting data. There is no hard disk in a Swim deployment. Okay. I want to be very clear. We learn on the fly from the data, and then we throw the data away. So what we're effectively learning is a model of the world, which you can ask questions of and ask it its predictions for the future, but you cannot ask it what it saw 5 seconds ago, because it's forgotten already, okay? So, I think that's a useful model. It's like I said, you can't tell me what you had for breakfast on Sunday, but you know what you like for breakfast. You've learned that, okay? So over countless breakfasts, you learn, but you also learn to forget because you know what you like. And
that
so that's a Swim model.
Cost, huh?
It saves a lot on data storage, saves you a lot on bandwidth and all of that sort of stuff. But it's nice and simple in that it's inherently lossy, right? You lose stuff that somebody could be worried about losing, right? Yeah. Okay, now the Swim fabric itself is designed to be secure. So we do a secure bootstrap of software stack on every node. The system is designed to protect the cloud or the enterprise from an owned IoT end network. So it could be we're on some horrible SCADA network that is already owned. We're designed to protect the IoT world from the cloud because the bad guys could be coming in that way. And we have a guaranteed chain of custody for all data passed between all Swim nodes. So we prove everything. And we use hardware crypto for that. So we put a lot of thought into security. You can never say that something is secure, but I think security as a design concept has to be in every new thing which we put in. Mm-hmm. In general, by the way, I'm encouraged, other than bits of the U.S. government, which still run Windows XP.
governments are notoriously slow to adopt new technology. So we're more interested in, you know, it's the big enterprises who are reading our new enterprise AI site, and they're, you know, watching the trends and doing the experimenting with some of the 1.0 stuff. And they need to be aware of all the, you know, the downsides and what could potentially happen, because no one wants to be a headline saying, you know, this company and the words data breach. It could kill your business. So
yeah, absolutely. So data breaches tend to be on, I mean, relatively, and by my reckoning, relatively small data stores. So in the big data world in general, there's less, I mean, it's potentially scary if somebody managed to walk off with your big data, but then you had to leave the door open for a long, long time, or you were really stupid. So in the big data world, I'm less worried about it than I am in the little data world. And let's be clear, Equifax is little data. If a city like Palo Alto can generate 4 terabytes a day from a couple of hundred traffic lights and sensors, then, you know, Equifax is tiny by comparison.
So, Simon, what are some parting words of advice that you'd have for companies that are interested in you know, collecting a lot of data and experimenting with machine learning and the newer, you know, technologies that fall under that AI umbrella?
I don't think that anybody can compete with the big guys. So, you know, trying to be better at machine learning than Google or Microsoft or Amazon is, you know, or Baidu is kind of pointless.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a fundamental differentiator of product. It's going to be in every product. Definitely. You see this anyway because the big guys are open sourcing their wares and so on.
So it's just a capability matter of choosing if you're going to use Microsoft or Google or Amazon rather than build your own.
Right. So I think it's going to be a property of everything that we build. The requirement should be that you're familiar with using it and building your applications using those frameworks, because the next generation of applications will all have to do this. And so for a developer or for the enterprise IT folks or whatever, it should be a fundamental requirement that everything uses these kinds of techniques to deliver greater value.
Cool. Well, Simon, thank you so much for your time. Good luck with the new venture, and we'll be watching, and I hope that you'll stay in touch and keep us posted.
Thank you so much. Great pleasure.